This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
3 o'clock hour. I want to get into the Heat game again here for a sec, but let's do cat talk because it is the 3 o'clock hour. Give us a little cat talk, Solana.
Brought to you by Hollywood Kia.
No Crowder today, no Jimmy today.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got, Steven?
Opening day tomorrow. I'm fired up.
All right. We're in the middle of cat talk. We need you to pay more attention.
I mean, filling in for Jimmy perfectly. That was flawless.
That was perfect.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, the Panthers don't play for a few days.
There you go. All right. There's your cat talk.
Cat talk, that is sponsored by Hollywood Kia. Get the start treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com. I was going to say, Hawk, that Paul Maurice hinted at a possible Brad Marchand Friday return against the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, it looks like it's trending in that direction. That's actually going to be very cool. That's going to be cool. See him actually skating around there for the Cats. That should be cool Friday night. So we'll see a little Marchand debut if all goes well on Friday. Couple things I saw today wanted to share with you. Stephen A. Smith, he said on First Take this morning regarding Jimmy Butler that his performance last night was the perfect example of the difference between a star and a superstar. And Mad Dog then kind of piggybacked on that and said that Jimmy Butler kind of said something along the lines of overrated, as you alluded to, Stephen A. And Stephen A. got really mad. And he's like, I never called him overrated. I never alluded. Like there was a little bit of a back and forth. But he did point out last night, Stephen A. did, that Jimmy Butler just wasn't that aggressive. I wrote it down because I was watching it this morning. I was doing my show prep and I'm watching it and I wrote it down. I rarely do, but he said he looked like a guy who was just trying to get through the night. And Stephen A's greater point was, which is one of the reasons that, you know, we talked about the over yesterday and a lot of people thought Stephen A's point was a lot of guys would come into that situation with just that killer mentality. Shaq, I told you before the game, said as much. He said he's going for 40 tonight. Like, this is the night that you do it. And it did look like an ordinary game for Jimmy. And by the way, Steph Curry out, I think everybody knows by now, even more of a case to be made 4, slashing and moving. And it was just your normal Jimmy Butler game. I will say, in his defense, as many have pointed out today, I watched a lot of sports television today, had his teammates hit shots, you might have a different view of Jimmy's performance last night because he was dishing it everywhere. They just weren't hitting any shots. But I thought Stephen A. was right. It was like, and Stephen A. was there last night, by the way. He was in Miami. I thought he was right that Jimmy, you just, in that instance, in that game, you should look like Kobe, MJ, LeBron, or your version of it. And he just looked like it was an ordinary Tuesday night.
Alec Burks outscored the entire Warriors starting five in the first half. The Heat,
he had 2 points, right?
Everybody had 2 points. He had 10 points. Alec Burks at halftime had 11. Hawk, the Heat yesterday, the real story of this game, aside from the storyline of Jimmy Butler's return, the real storyline of this game is that the Miami Heat shot 17 of 25 from three, and the Warriors shot 9 of 38. That's the difference in the game. Forget Jimmy Butler's play. Forget his quote-unquote lack of aggressiveness. Jimmy Butler only went to the free throw line one time, so I think it's a fair criticism. He was not aggressive. He also only played 4 minutes in the fourth quarter because they were getting blown out. And because they were getting blown out much of the game, they were looking to shoot threes. That's what they do. So I think, you know, you can nitpick the game all you want and talk about Jimmy's lack of aggressiveness. Jimmy Butler played a Jimmy Butler game yesterday. He tries to get his teammates involved.
But I think what Stephen A. Smith was saying was, don't give me your typical Jimmy Butler game.
Right.
Not that night.
Right.
Give me a different game. Give me a superstars game who says, I'm not going to do my typical stuff because tonight I have something to prove. And he was saying, if I'm extrapolating correctly, what Stephen A. Smith was saying was, you saw the difference between a superstar and a star because Kobe wouldn't have given you a typical game if the situation, you know, was Kobe instead of Jimmy. MJ wouldn't have given you that game, so on and so on.
Shaq going back to Los Angeles in 2005 with the Miami Heat was going to win that game. LeBron James going back to Cleveland in 2010 was going to win that game. Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City with the Golden State Warriors was going to win that game. Yesterday, Jimmy Butler looked a lot less interested in winning. Like you said, a lot more interested of just getting the hell out of there as quickly as possible.
It was very, very interesting. I thought it was just such an odd night. I thought it was great because the Heat handled them. And there was like that feeling. I'm telling you, it was for one night, but it was kind of like that feeling of the Heat are bad. I don't know. There was something about last night that felt great. And then you'll be back to reality over the, 10 games left or
so,
something along those lines. But last night felt great. But I thought it was odd last night. I just thought I really thought Jimmy Butler, man, he just annoyed me. I was like, I got viscerally angry when Taylor Rooks made that report. I was like, wow, like what a turd. you got to be kidding me. One of the criticisms today of LeBron on Pat McAfee was that he said Giannis would score 250 points when in the 70s or
80s? In the 70s, yeah.
And what Stephen A. Smith went on to say, I'm forgetting who else I was watching, Jay Williams on Get Up. Everybody was commenting on it, but one of the things that many were saying, Stephen A. included, was there's no reason to say it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. There's no reason to say it because those are people who came before you who paved the way for you to be able to earn what you earn and have the platform that you do. And I was like, And then Stephen A. was talking about it with Mad Dog, and he made a great analogy, I thought, and it was essentially this. And it had to do with our industry. He said, you know, Mad Dog, if I came out here and disparaged Howard Cosell or Stuart Scott or Dick Vitale or other broadcast personalities who came before us and talked about how they wouldn't have been able to hold a candle to me on First Take. I would have gotten all the ratings in the set. And he's like, what would be the point of me doing that? And that's obviously when it touches close to home, it makes a little more sense. Now, LeBron did say it in a very flippant manner. I don't think that was like a hot take from him. It was kind of like, hey, Giannis could go for 250 against those guys. And it's probably not untrue if he wanted to. If Wilt was able to go for 100 in the 60s,
allegedly,
then Giannis could probably go for 250 if he wanted to, just based on his physical build and his abilities.
I agree with that analogy. Like, what does it matter? But I will say this, man. A lot of guys in the 70s, a lot of guys that played in the 80s, and even dudes that played in the 90s are the most critical of today's modern NBA star, superstar, and players in general. They're the ones creating the narratives and setting the takes of those guys can't play in our era. Those guys wouldn't be able to play in our era.
They're saying it's different eras, but what they're generally saying is they don't play as hard as we did. They don't play as often as we did. One of the guys today, what is it, Boozer? I cannot remember. But he was saying, all we hear is bigger, stronger, faster. But why aren't they more durable? Because he's like, I'm so tired of hearing bigger, stronger, faster, but they're not out there.
Well, they're not out there because they're playing at 10 times more basketball before they even get to the league than any of those guys did. And by the way, Hawk, I'm not telling you that these guys are right or wrong or Boozer's right or wrong, but I know why they're not more durable, because you're playing a million times more basketball, more games as a young kid than anybody ever did. You're not just playing youth and then middle school and then high school. You're playing AAU 17 times a week, plus middle school, plus high school. Like, that's why their bodies are beaten down before they even get to the league. It's not rocket science. These guys are playing way more basketball.
Hart Scott was talking about a teammate who played 256 games and missed one. And he's like, and this is football. He's like, I'm so tired of these guys and maintenance programs and not playing back-to-backs. And it was an interesting conversation. But everyone was critical today of LeBron, you know, saying that Giannis would score 250. But they were saying, like, who do you think is better, Dr. J or Giannis? Because that's a guy in the 70s. And Dr. J, like there's something to be said for respecting what came before you. Their point was that it didn't, essentially, that LeBron didn't do that.
I don't think that's true.
But I think he respects the history of the game. So I don't think it's a fair criticism of him.
He does. Like, LeBron is one of the guys who is constantly talking about that era, who genuinely knows about that era, or at least he comes off as he does. I don't know. Nowadays, you never know with LeBron. Hawk, those are the same guys, a lot of them, on TV, maybe not critiquing LeBron, but saying that the modern star can't play in those eras. So I don't have an issue with guys. Remember J.J. Redick said something along the lines of, like, the guys back in the 70s and 60s were playing against, you know, firefighters and paramedics and whatever. Like, that was obviously disrespectful. He was disrespecting everybody in that era. LeBron is just responding, and it's a greater conversation, to what a lot of people say, which is, they can't play in the 90s, hand-checking. It was a much more physical game. Bro, these guys are better athletes. Overall, they just are. Ignoring that is ridiculous, in my point. And I think he's by saying what he said today, throw a little jab back at those people. Oh, your error was so much better. Giannis would put 250 on you, jackasses. 250. And he's not wrong.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, what are you talking about? The Heat had everything to do with how bad Jimmy Butler looked last night. You honestly don't think Butler didn't want to score 40? Bam didn't let him. There's certainly a modicum of truth to that, but also Solana just said it in the headlines, or I just heard you say it. He went to the line one time. So you can't tell me that Butler was super aggressive. I'm talking about his aggression. I'm talking about his want to get to the basket. I'm not telling you that they didn't shut him down, because they did. There were a couple times ball got slammed when he was going up for a a layup. Like, there was some great defense on him. They did do a good job shutting him down. But I think Stephen A's point was Jimmy Butler then should have ended that game with 16 trips to the line and maybe five offensive fouls. You know what I mean? Like, just a one of those games where you see him at the back of the stanchion trying to catch his breath, and you didn't get that. So, yes, the Heat did a great job shutting him down, but also Jimmy didn't do anything special to put the team on his back and say, I'm not allowing us to lose tonight in Miami.
We've seen Jimmy Butler take over games defensively, offensively, come up the floor. Every set runs through him. Every shot in the fourth quarter, he either takes it or he creates it. He didn't do that yesterday. There was a point in the third quarter, Hawk, they cut it to 8, and with 2.5 minutes to go, Jimmy Butler's out there, and he could have taken over the game. He could have narrowed the gap. They could have gone into the fourth quarter tied. The Heat, historically bad this year in the fourth quarter, and he just didn't do that. He had no interest in taking over the game.
All right, let's get to headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by Doral. Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Matt
Unless
Mervis.
We've already done headlines. And that intro, I couldn't figure out. I thought maybe you had already done weather, and I just did it again. I couldn't figure out what we did this hour.
We did cat talk, and I don't know.
Oh, that's right, cat talk.
Yeah, I don't think we did any headline. Matt Mervis would hit 300 home runs in 1922 against Babe Ruth, Hawk. 1920,
agreed.
He'd hit 300 home runs.
Was Babe Ruth playing in the 20s?
Huh. Oh. Seems like I nailed that, right? 1920s.
I don't think so.
Like Great Depression era.
Right. Hey, look.
The Great Bambino, Hawk.
Babe Ruth. Well, you might be right.
Bro, spanned 22 seasons from 1914.
You're right.
I'm the baseball guy on the show. I don't know if you know
you
that.
Are.
I'm the baseball
you
guy.
You are. Yeah. Wow, he was only a 2-time All-Star. That's crazy. He was a 7-time World Series champion, and he went to 2 All-Star games?
What a bum.
He was the AL home run leader 12 times. How did he only... This is a shanda. How did he only go to 2 All-Star games?
I mean, Hanley Ramirez went to more.
That's crazy.
Hawk, I believe, because I'll ride with you, Hanley Ramirez better than Babe Ruth all day. That could be our take if you want it. But I believe the All-Star game... The All-Star game wasn't created until like 1930-something, which is why he only has...
Right at the end of his career.
Right. He only has 2 All-Star appearances. All right. I mean, I'll ride with you. Hanley better than Babe. I'll jump on
that. I was
that.
Just about to tweet at Peter Gammon.
All right. Well, tomorrow, opening day, Marlins, Pirates, Skeens, and Sandy on the bump. Are we betting the Nerfy? Is it out yet? Because I feel like that's the best chance we have at the Nerfy.
That's a good question. It is Nerfy season, isn't it?
Can I intrigue you in a little Nerfy, Hawk?
Love a Nerfy. Okay. That, of course, is no runs first inning if you're new to Major League Baseball gambling.
Sandy.
You can also bet a Yerfy. Yeah. Yes, run in the first inning.
Sandy and you know the Marlins aren't getting a run. So, I mean, just forget about that. Are the Pirates any good?
First inning. There's a first inning winner. Man, there may not be a Nerfy yet.
No, I got
yet.
It. I got it. I got
what
it.
What is it?
You go to innings props, and then inning one, total runs, half. The under is minus 175.
Minus 175, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's actually less than what I thought it would be. With Sandy on the mound and Skeens on the mound, I honestly thought that was going to be like minus 300 Nerfy.
Yeah. Now the over, the Yerfy, a little enticing, huh? Plus 135.
Nah. No one's scoring a run in the first inning.
You sure?
Positive. I've never been more positive. This is take it to the bank.
I don't know, man. I mean, you got, who do you got? Roberto Clemente, batting for the Pirates, of course.
Good call.
Andrew McCutchen.
Bill Madlock.
All right. Honus Wagner. I mean, dude, Hawk. Sandy can't strike out all these legends.
I need some player props for tomorrow. I got to get a Mervis home run prop.
Oh, talk to me. Marlins to bat in the ninth inning. No is
I saw
plus.
That. That's a great prop.
No is plus 175.
So Pirates tomorrow, minus 150 favorites. Marlins plus 130 dogs.
The Heat do play tomorrow. Again, they're going to play the Atlanta Hawks. They win last night. They improved to 31-41. The Miami Heat have won their last two games. They are streaking. Their next couple actually happen to be somewhat easy. And when I say easy, it would be easy if the Heat were great. They are not. They have the Hawks tomorrow. Then they're on the road at the Sixers, at the Wizards.
All right.
Speaking of baseball, you know I'm endeavoring to get the Marlins to notice me because I think a croqueta-filled helmet would just be a great idea. I saw on Darren Revelle's Twitter account that the Yankees are introducing tiramisu in a mini helmet.
Tiramisu?
Tiramisu in a mini helmet. What about flan in a mini helmet at Marlins games?
Or tres leches.
Tres leches in a mini helmet at a Marlins game.
I don't love tiramisu, and it doesn't strike me as a baseball treat.
Wow. Don't love tiramisu, huh?
I don't.
Huh. That's a bad take by you. Tiramisu is delicious. The powder.
No, I've had that take for a while. I don't like tiramisu. I don't like cannolis.
That I'm with
I think
you.
Cannolis are one of the most overrated dessert items, and people rave. You know, they can't get enough. You know, Godfather, you know how much I love that movie. Obviously, cannolis, big part. But everybody loves cannolis. Eh, what's so special about cannolis?
I'm with you on the cannolis. How can you not like tiramisu? The ladyfingers? The ladyfingers, Hawk? Who doesn't love a ladyfinger with the powdered? I don't even know what's on top. It's like cocoa powder on top.
Got a little buzz to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. What do they have, like the mascarpone or whatever? Mascarpone?
Is mascarpone in...
Yeah, it is.
In tiramisu?
Yeah, the mascarpone. Hmm. Cocoa powder on top, ladyfingers. I mean, what's not to love, man? You're missing out. Creme brulee.
What's that other one with the... yeah, creme brulee. I don't love that.
Creme brulee. Oh, they flambe the top. And you get a little shell. Right when you
it's like
dip
one of those
in.
Cutesy things. Like if they didn't flambe the top,
right? But I mean, if they didn't put the pizza in the oven, I mean, wait, that's how it comes. You can't.
I mean, that's not the same. That's not the same. That's not the same.
No, you're right. You're 100% right, Hawk.
No, it's my point. Like the sweet potato fries, they go, oh, but here's marshmallow sauce. Mm-hmm. And people go, oh, I love sweet potato fries because they want the marshmallow sauce. If they didn't do this cutesy little thing to the top of the bowl of custard, like, oh, here's some pudding.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, if they didn't put the lasagna inside the water and boil it, it's super cutesy.
You don't boil lasagna.
Whatever, spaghetti, same thing.
Same difference. Boil lasagna.
Same difference, man.
Hardly.
All right, well. Keep listening to me, Marlon. Flan in a mini helmet.
Ugh, I'm dying.
All right, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Beautiful afternoon in South Florida. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the mid to upper 60s. That is your weather.
All right. I have some food stuff to talk about in the next segment if we get a chance to get there.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, ho, let's go.
Hawk and Crowder.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a great song. How on earth do you know this song, Solana?
Are you kidding me? Radio? It's my jam.
So radio, and it's spelled R-A-Y-D-I-O, is Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Who you all youngsters probably know as Ghostbusters, the guy who sings the Ghostbusters song.
Yeah.
But he had some great songs back in the day. But this song with radio, this is a jam. Good for you. How on earth did you find this song?
Hawk, I told you that I'm endeavoring to get the music back so I can bring a little bit more life to the show and stop playing the same 17 songs. And I'm showing you my range here. I went, you know, EDM on the way in because it's Miami Music Week. We got Ultra coming that I'm jacked up for. But I can also throw it down for you, take it back to the 80s. Some deep cuts from the 80s, brother.
I mean, it wouldn't be fair for Jimmy to lose his job while he's at Disney World. He's going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah, good point. But he did send us a selfie today that just made my stomach unsettled.
He has a knack for not realizing what might be appropriate or inappropriate selfies for our particular thread, me, you, Crowder, and Jimmy.
Right.
Why on earth would we want to see him in a cabana? Just a close-up of his face. Like, just, hey. Like, but that's why we love him.
It's the type of selfie my dad sends when he's on an airplane, where it's like on the airplane, but it's just this weird right. angle of his face with his right. neck. And Jimmy sends the 75-year-old man selfie to the group chat.
Because we've done, like, you know, I post a lot of pictures on social media. I like to do it, really, to be a catalog for myself for when I go. I just like the on this day stuff. In fact, for my super followers today, I put some video up on Snapchat. On this day 5 years ago, you know, COVID was really just starting to ramp up. And so on this day 5 years ago, I was in bed with my wife about 11 p.m., and I am gambling on Australian horse racing because it's one of the few things that was open and taking bets in the early days of COVID. Everything had shut down, every sporting event, but the tracks were able to keep running because they just didn't allow people to come see it. But they had, you know, masks on, not on the horses, but that would be a funny visual. A funny visual, but they had full horse racing cards. And so I downloaded the now it's FanDuel Network. What was it before? A TVG. So TVG used to do all the horse races, and I was jonesing for some gambling action and some sports action. And it was 5 years ago today. I was gambling on Australian horse racing. They go the other way around the track, by the way, in Australia.
What?
Yeah.
With the Kiwis down under. That's crazy, man.
Anyway, I was talking earlier. Oh, Marlins opening day. I was going to talk about some food, ballpark food. Couple notes. I should read this because one of our friends at, speaking of, Marlins are still on FanDuel Sports?
No. Yes. Yes. Marlins and Heat are still on FanDuel Sports, but they're on FanDuel Sports Florida, I believe, not Sun.
Because the app is available. What did he tell me? He said, oh yeah, we have a 30-day free trial of the FanDuel Sports Network app that local fans could take advantage of. So if you go to FanDuelSportsNetwork.com, use the code Marlins30 and you get a 30-day free trial. And the Marlins promise to win you over during those 30 days.
Hmm.
Or your money back.
It's on Prime now, too, right? You can watch.
Because it's a free trial.
Yeah.
You get it?
I got you.
Yeah, so you can get the FanDuel networks on Prime, but it costs extra.
Right.
Yeah. They just posted, I was just looking at it on Instagram. Admittedly, it's not the caliber of, say, I don't know, what the Yankees might do or what the Cardinals might do. But the Marlins just posted a video on their Instagram account of Jeff Conine mm-hmm. delivering a jersey to Dan Marino's house.
Yeah.
Because Dan Marino's going to throw out the first pitch tomorrow. And, you know, I don't think that the script went through a ton of rewrites. I don't think they brought in some Hollywood hotshots to punch it up, as we say in the business. But for just a couple of guys, Conine and Marino, just kind of winging it, it reminded me a lot of Step Brothers.
Huh. Really?
That's the dynamic. That's John C. That's what, when you watch John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, I see Conine and Marino in that video I just watched on the Marlins Instagram.
Hawk, that video, I watch it, and it really reminds me of Marino, the famous clip, "F it, send it in," which is what Jeff Conine told the poor Marlins intern. Probably like, hey, we should probably shoot that again. Maybe here, put this microphone on. Right. Nah. F it, send it in.
But anyway, it'll be cool. So tomorrow you'll have Marino throwing out the opening pitch, and then you're going to have Sandy Alcantara on the mound. And I'm telling you, my guy Matt Mervis is going to start the season with a ding-dong. Yeah. I'm betting that prop tomorrow for sure. That game starts at 4 o'clock, so we can watch it during the show. And then there's a post-game concert, right?
There is. There is a
post-game concert. Flo Rida and maybe like Luis Fonsi or something?
I think it's Luis Fonsi, yeah.
So I was looking CBSSports.com. They did top 10 ballpark food items
Ooh.
For the upcoming season. Number 10 is the Filthy Mac Fries in Arizona for the Diamondbacks.
Hmm.
And it just says the Diamondback decided to throw a bunch of random ingredients on Cajun fries. Between the white cheddar mac and cheese, the pork belly bacon, and crispy onions, there's a lot to like about this very chaotic dish. Problem with that one is a little too messy for a baseball game.
Yeah, but loaded fries, you throw that down with a fork and knife, I would buy that for sure. I don't know about the name, though. The Filthy, like naming a food Filthy whatever is
well,
is
straight filled. They're throwing straight filth.
Okay, all right.
I like this one. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have Polish cannonballs.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course, that was my nickname in high school, and slightly Polish. Some Polish ancestry. No, the Polish cannonballs. An homage to its Polish Hill community, the Pirates are offering some unique local flair at PNC Park. Pirates fans can enjoy these fried balls full of egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, and cheddar cheese. That sounds pretty good to me.
It does.
The White Sox, they've got the Celebration Cake Milkshake. White Sox are celebrating their 125th anniversary this season. And they point out on CBS Sports, that might be all that they're celebrating this season. There are two teams in Major League Baseball that are epically bad. The Marlins and the White Sox.
Yeah. What did the White Sox do last year, Hawk? They won like 7 games all season.
But they had a s'mores shake that went viral, Ooh. And they're trying to recapture it with this birthday cake shake.
So is that what it is, birthday cake ice cream? Because I happen to be a huge fan.
Yeah, that's a good flavor. It says that in honor of their 125th birthday, the White Sox are selling birthday cake and ice cream, blended up, served in a cup with cake chunks and a cookie.
Fire. That sounds fire. And a milkshake, as we know, Mark Light has capitalized on it, underrated baseball item, food yes. item at a baseball game.
You know, the Marlins wanted to do something special. They would do a Costco double chunk chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
give you five big booms. Where have those guys gone? I used to get inundated with their videos. All of a sudden, are these guys going the way of the Island Boys?
Have they fallen off? Well, I really hope they're not.
Is really funny. I'm not going to say it, but the joke.
Man, I hope not. Because we're going to have to do a lot of deleting of tweets and podcasts if they do.
Kansas City Royals have a blue velvet whoopie pie. Know what a whoopie pie is?
I don't. What's a whoopie pie?
A famous, really old snack, but it's just cream in between like two, I don't know, I don't know how to describe it. A whoopie pie. Look up a whoopie pie. Well, this one's blue.
A whoopie pie?
Yeah, whoopie pie. It's like the Southerners used to love whoopie pies.
Yeah, it looks like an Oreo, but there's more. It's less. It's not a cookie. It's more like fluffy.
It's cakey.
Yeah.
Number four on the CBS Sports list is the helmet tiramisu.
Oh, that's fire, man.
Number three, the Philadelphia Phillies have a s'mores quesadilla.
I saw this. I saw the I saw the post from the Phillies.
So if you like s'mores or quesadillas, this is a pretty brilliant mashup.
That is fire. Hawk, the crepe is always better. I had a crepe the other day at... What? I had a crepe the other day at the Miami Open. And I had a crepe. They had the crepe station. Crepe. And, you know, they had like a chicken Caesar crepe. And they had...
I can't do this much longer. If you don't call it a crepe, I got to move on.
The crepe. And, you know, like they have like a burger crepe, the food crepes, and then they have the dessert crepe. And, man, the dessert crepe is always better. You think you want to go with the chicken Caesar crepe, but make no mistake about it, the dessert crepe with the Nutella and the chocolate and the berries is always better. And that's essentially what this chicken quesadilla mashup is. It's a crepe.
Is a quesadilla a crepe? That's a great question.
I think it is. I really do think it is.
And number one on the list from CBSSports.com, ballpark foods for this new season, cotton candy fries from the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, this is, without question, the ballpark food item with the least amount of energy I've ever seen put into it, because it literally is just a thing of fries and they throw some cotton candy on it. I don't even know. I'm not going to be able to see. Can you see that on my
computer? Yeah, barely.
Computer?
Yeah, barely. I'm looking it up, though. I'm looking up the images right now. But it's just a plate of stadium french fries with cotton candy on top.
It's ridiculous. And I don't know how CBS has this as their number one treat, but truly awful. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen at Marlins Park. I think we did. I'll look. I saw something about some of their food items.
I had a list.
We had lobbied last season to have some sort, because they're going to have the cruise ship this year that you know, blasts off fireworks if someone hits a home run. It should have been Big Daddy Flanagan, just a Big Daddy Flanagan head, and it shoots out actual rockin' rib rolls on a home run. But really, just fires them into the outfield. Like, doesn't go into the stands, just fires them. The outfield gets covered almost in rockin' rib rolls. That'd be funny.
There is some video right now. I don't know if you follow Kevin Barral. He's a Marlins beat writer for Fish on First. I guess the Marlins today had their event where you could come out and check out all
tasting
the new food happenings. Yeah, so yeah. I'll get back to you with what's available and what's not available.
I think I fixed my camera perfectly. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with the 4 o'clock hour.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm naked right now.
All right. And moving on.
Hawk and Crowder.